Well, Governor Andrew Cuomo has gotten high marks for his handling of the novel coronavirus outbreak in New York, with 84% of voters approving his handling of the crisis in an April 27th statewide poll. His actions may have exceeded his authority. At least that's what's alleged in a recent lawsuit filed in federal court by a Buffalo area attorney. To discuss the case, we're joined by Jim Heaney, editor of the Investigative Post, a nonprofit news outlet covering Western New York, which can be found at investigativepost.org. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Nice to be back.
So what is the crux of the complaint against the actions taken by the governor, as well as the separately elected state attorney general, Letitia James?
He doesn't like the way James has attempted to enforce the governor's directives involving his law firm. But the larger issue is he's claiming that the state law that grants him powers to issue executive orders is unconstitutional. Essentially, the argument is that it's up to the legislature. What should have happened was the governor should have convened the legislature in emergency session and said, here's the situation. How do you want to handle it? The legislature should have promulgated the orders and the policy and all that stuff, and then it was up to the governor to execute. In other words, the legislature legislates, executive branch executes. And I think in very simple terms, that's what the lawsuit claims ought to be the way it's handled under the state constitution. Now, the lawyer who filed it, Corey Hogan, said he was not aware of any previous lawsuits that challenged, it's 29A is the statute that we're talking about. He's not aware of any previous challenges. So I'm no lawyer. I couldn't tell you one way or the other whether or not the suit is based on solid, legal ground or not. But the suit also, the suit kind of included everything, including the kitchen sink. There was a lot of rhetoric in the lawsuit about basically that the coronavirus was basically the state's faced worse. It's had bigger problems. It's had worse diseases. It's had floods. It's had hurricanes. And the paperwork in the suit went so far as to say we would have been just as well off, the public health would have been just as well off if the governor had done nothing, which is
a bold
not
statement.
At all. Well, yeah, I in my story, I use the word provocative. I don't think there's any credible public health official in the country who would agree with doing nothing was acceptable. But this, I think the lawsuit in general strikes a very libertarian perspective on how government ought to operate in the face of a pandemic.
We'll be back with more from the Investigative Post, Jim Heaney, after a quick break.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
We're continuing our conversation with the Investigative Post, Jim Heaney, about a legal challenge to the governor's pandemic actions. You reported in your story that Corey Hogan's firm has been allowed to operate, but it seems like he's bristled at some of the, I guess, handling of that sort of situation by the attorney general. What's been the problem from his point of view?
I think in very general terms, he would argue that we've done the kinds of things that businesses are supposed to be doing during the pandemic, and that hasn't satisfied the attorney general, and the attorney general has threatened them with cease and desist orders, which he has taken offense to. The particulars of what's gone back and forth is a little hazy, but he clearly thinks the attorney general has gone too far in trying to enforce the governor's directives as it relates to his law firm. He's got a law firm of about 35 attorneys, five different locations around Western New York, but a lot of them are in their Amherst office, which is really very, very close to the University of Buffalo.
And while not naming Erie County for in the suit, he's also questioned whether the actions there taken by the county executive are problematic as well, right?
Yeah, and the mayor of the city of Buffalo. I think Corey Hogan's general perspective is that all of this should have been a matter of personal choice by individual people and by individual business owners. And the government, from a point of philosophy, the government had no business telling anybody what to do. Be it a governor, a county executive, a mayor, everybody should have butted out and just let people do what they wanted to do.
Is there a timeline for the court handling this case?
He said typically something like this might take a year. Whether or not it gets handled in an expedited manner remains to be seen. I don't see where it's going to have any real impact on what's going to unfold in the next few months as the state gradually opens up. I think if there's an impact, it's if there is a relapse, so to speak, and there's another spike down the road, and the governor feels compelled to start issuing executive orders again. Whether, this suit could either crimp his plans or leave no doubt that the governor has the free hand that the governor believes he has. But short term, it's I don't see where this is going to make any difference. I'm sure it's made some people in the open up New York now movement happy, but I think that's as far as it goes.
Well, Western New York got the go ahead this week to begin its phased in reopening. I'm curious if you think that this suit is emblematic of the general mood in the region, or whether this is an outlier.
No. I think it's an outlier. I think public opinions have showed really across the country that people that this pandemic scares people, and that the vast majority of people are accepting of the edicts that the governors have issued to basically stay at home, wear a mask, and socially distance when you go out. Businesses close. There's been a fair amount of coverage of the protests, but you have to keep in mind that, like state of Michigan, I don't know how many tens of millions of people live there, and there's maybe a couple hundred guys walking around with guns making a lot of noise. I think the public here, and actually, I live in North Buffalo. I live in an urban area. I go to the grocery store frequently. I can't remember the last time at Dash's supermarket I encountered anybody who was not wearing a mask. I mean, people are taking this seriously. Western New York has had over 500 deaths. It's not New York City level of infections, but it's been very, very serious. And people are taking it seriously. And those who are not taking it seriously are coming, I believe, from an ideological perspective. They want to support the president, regardless of the consequences.
Well, you mentioned those protests that have popped up around the country, like in places like Michigan, against some of the stay-at-home restrictions. And it appears that some of those movements have been either directly or indirectly spurned on by larger organizations and business interests. Is there any indication that that might be the case with this lawsuit?
I have no indication one way or the other. The fact that it's being brought by an attorney, it is costing Corey Hogan and his firm their time. And time, I guess, to some degree is money. But it's a lot cheaper and easier for a lawyer to bring a lawsuit than it is a private individual who has to go out and hire a lawyer and pay hundreds of dollars an hour to get that lawsuit prepared. The lawsuit's 51 pages. It goes on. And the supporting documents, when you add everything up, it's well over 200 pages. So there was clearly time and effort put into preparing it. Like I say, I think it reflects probably a libertarian perspective on things. You know, I did look up Cory Hogan's campaign contributions at the federal level just to see what that might say about his political leanings. And most he hasn't made a lot of donations. And to the extent he has, they tend to be Democrats. So this is he's not anybody I would categorize as a like right wing ideologue or anything like that. I think he's probably somebody who's upset with the attorney general based on interactions and philosophically, you know, opposed to a lot of government intervention.
So we're doing this.
But again, I don't know that. I'm speculating on that.
So we're doing this interview over the phone, like you and I usually communicate from Albany to Western New York. But for the most part, my job hasn't really changed a lot, you know, except my interviews being all on the phone as opposed to the occasional in person. I'm curious for you and the reporting you do, what sort of impact there's been as a result of COVID-19 and the social distancing era we live in?
For Investigative Post, it's been a dramatic change. I mean, I've got 3 full-time reporters. I've got a development director and myself. So I got a 5-person staff. We've got an office downtown that until 2 months ago we were going to every day. Everybody's working remotely, which has worked out reasonably well. I mean, I'm frequently on the phone with my staff. and so communication hasn't been, a problem at all. I think it's a challenge doing television for our partners at WGRZ because there's not a lot of opportunity to go out and do live on-camera interviews anymore. So the television work that we're doing tends to be, minute to a minute and a half, a lot of stand-ups that's covered by, B-roll or video. So our TV stories tend to be more concise and not as in-depth as they would typically be.
We've been speaking with Jim Heaney, editor of the Investigative Post, a nonprofit news outlet covering Western New York, which can be found at investigativepost.org. Jim, as always, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.